Now, in part three of our preparation, we're going to look at the second reading, which is 2 Corinthians 13, and just three verses, 11 to 13. But they're very powerful. And they're actually just about the conclusion of the second letter to the Corinthians. So it starts off, he's going to wrap up, for the rest, everybody, okay, now he's going to wrap up. Adelphi, brethren, you know, rejoice. How many times does Paul say that? Rejoice. Now, you could say, I don't feel like rejoicing. He says, I don't care. I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about your faith. You just look at God the Father with faith, and you will rejoice. You'll be overwhelmed with His love. Look at Jesus, risen from the dead, glorious, wanting to pour out blessings on you. Rejoice. Relax and listen, and you'll see the Holy Spirit at work in you. Rejoice. It's important, you know, it's part of this. These are the last verses of 2 Corinthians. So he's wrapping up. So he says, as for the rest, brethren, charite, rejoice. First thing to do. Then, hard word to translate. Karatizeste. Well, the core of that word is a marvelous Greek word, ar. We get harmony from it. We get, well, they get, areti, virtue. In other words, it's a word that means have everything in harmony. Is that difficult? Yes. Why? Because our emotional life is chaos. And he's saying, get it together in the power of the Holy Spirit. The fathers of the desert had another word for it, in a way. After rejoice, which is there, the next word that they use to describe something that we strive for in life is apatheia. Now, you hear apatheia, you think of apathy. Apathy means you don't care about anything. But apatheia in Greek means to be without immoderate emotions, so that everything we do is accompanied by the right type and intensity of emotion. It's a beautiful word. It takes a long time, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to come to that point. One of the first persons I ever met was my first professor of Hebrew, Father Petrus Dunker, who's gone to the Lord. He had vibrant emotions, all of them, but they were all appropriate. That's apatheia. You see, it's not, St. Thomas says, for instance, whether a work done with emotion, an action done with emotion, is more perfect than one done without emotion. Now, you would suppose this spiritual man is going to say, cool, no emotion, that's the best. He says, no. You got to think of what emotion means, you see? If an emotion precedes your act, it drags you along with it. That's imperfect. But if the emotion accompanies the act, then it's making the act more human and more intense. You understand? And so, whether it be love, joy, anger, I don't think he'd mind me telling this story now that he's dead and with the Lord, but a whole bunch of different people were writing articles against him that he didn't deserve. So anyway, I'm 28 years old, and he's 70-something. And he says to me, what do you think I ought to do? I said, I ignore it, Father. Well, big shot. Ignore it, Father. And he says to me, that's just what Bea says. Bea is Cardinal Bea, you know, the one who wrote all the encyclicals for the Pope and all the rest. So me and Bea. But what was so touching to me in that was the intensity by which he felt this. But he was not angry in a bitter way. That's enough on that word, katartizeste. But it means have every reaction of yours, every movement of yours, appropriate. In harmonia, see, in harmony, in virtue, aretti. I hope that's clear. Now, how does that ever happen? The Greek philosophers thought if you practice hard enough, you could get a grip on yourself. And it's true. But the fathers of the desert said, this is a fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. We're not very far along here. You see? Encourage one another. And there, that's parakaliste. Don't you hear paraclete? You see? Encourage one another. Be paracletes to one another. Then, think the same thing. To afto phronite. Phronima means more than just think. You know, you think two and two are four. I think two and two are four. So we're in unity. Not necessarily. But phronin means, comes from the word, well, phrenology in English means the study of the innards, the liver particularly, right? So phronite means to think with your guts, your emotions. So your emotional interests and my emotional interests should coalesce in the Holy Spirit. That's community. That's family. Okay. Finally, irinevite. If you do all these other things, you're going to have peace. Remember when we just had that notion of peace before? And here it is again. Okay. And then it says, and the God of agape and peace will be with you. Talking to the whole community, winding up the letter, saying, you want God to be with you, then be joyful, you know, have your life harmonious and under your authority, be encouraging and forgiving of one another, think the same thing, and be at peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. When you see a family like that, you know the presence of God. You know it's there. Okay. Greet one another with a holy greeting, philimati, which really means a kiss. Mediterraneans are more expressive than Northerners. But, you know, with a holy kiss. And then comes this famous, you're going to recognize this right away. This is the conclusion of the letter. And it says what? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the kinonia, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of you and also with you. That's where we get that from. Now, the greeting, you see, is a Trinitarian greeting. That's why the church puts it here. It's saying, may the blessed God himself be with you. That means, you see, that the charis, the totally free, gratuitous love of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, be with you. The charis, you see, to kyrie himon Jesu Christu. This is his blessing. This is the blessing. This is why the priest says it at the beginning of Mass. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trouble with all these things is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and with you. And we're on. And we don't think of what we're saying. It's meant to be that greeting that opens up the Mass so that we are one. Celebrant and people, deacon, everybody, servers, readers, everybody there. The charis is the generous, spontaneous, unmerited love of God, of Jesus. It's also the word for grace, huh? Charity, says in other places, you're saved by grace, not by works. Same word. So you see, it means the grace, the loving grace. But grace has to be freely given, right? Remember, somebody fell into the river and they pulled him out. It was his wife. Pulled her out and they said to him, what are you going to do for her? He said, well, we're giving her artificial respiration. Never mind artificial, I'll pay for the real thing. You see, it's like that. See, but charis is always the real thing. It's grace. Now, we don't give grace to one another directly. We can be an instrument of God. But we can love a free grace. That means, and I think I've told you this before, when Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and other Lutheran theologians went down to the south of Germany to live a community life and get as far away from Hitler as they could, being good German theologians, they started to reflect on, well, what is Gemeinschaft? You see, what should we be doing here? They finally figured out that the heart of community life is forgiveness. Then they said, that makes sense. We're the community of the forgiven. We're only perpetuating our nature. That's a family. Community of forgiven. And we perpetuate that between ourselves, you see? And the agape of the Father. Oh, the agape of the Father is so free, so solid, so unchangeable. If we just came to know that agape of God, huh? O Theos agape estin. Theos, the Father, is agape. And from that agape, he generates a Son, and together they generate a Spirit. The whole source of God's life is agape. Love. And we're so mixed up. It takes us a year to decide to love anybody. You know? But if we yield to the Holy Spirit, we can cut that down a lot. Because agape is the wit we live by. And then, finally, the last one. The kinonia of the Holy Spirit. And that's translated fellowship. Okay. But it means, you see, when Luke in Acts is telling us about these communities, and they had panta kina, they had everything together. See? And he's alluding to a great ideal of some of the Plutarchian and other Jewish community, Hellenistic communities. Like the, I think a lot of you are old enough to remember the old hippie communes. Some of them were a disaster, but some were really trying hard to do this. But you can't do it without grace. See, the kinonia, everything that's mine is yours. Now, you got to be practical about that, but on one level, you see, kina ton philon, Aristotle says, belongs to friends that have everything in common. And so what makes that communality? That trust the Holy Spirit. And that's why he is the creator of kinonia, which means community. Fellowship is a good word, but it's pretty abstract. And it's kind of like, shake hands and we have fellowship. No, you know. You have fellowship when you lay down your life for each other. Then you've got kinonia. Amen.